to get started, if you haven't gathered, I'm back from my illness.
That has caused a few delays in getting feedback on the concept documents that you sent in, as well as updates on the web page and all kinds of other little things. The one aspect of that that's going to impact you is that if you haven't noticed the calendar, was for the proposal to be due next Monday. We're going to delay it to next Wednesday. That way we want to make sure that you've got time for feedback from us and to incorporate those suggestions in your proposal.
That's a week from Wednesday.
That's right, a week from this Wednesday. Not this Wednesday. Okay, don't worry. What I want to do really quickly, this is almost sort of a roll call. I know that not everyone's here, but hopefully there's a person from each team here that can tell me that these are sort of the correct mappings of people to teams, because I'm still getting concept documents and stuff right now. Phil and Barrett, the RF remote system for gas ignition, either that's a go? Yeah, in fact, we did a project for Channel, I think, like 10 years ago. Very nice one. Looks good. We've got the electric golf cart team. There must be one, at least one person here. Okay. Four of you. Okay. Let's see. Mark? Okay. The wireless gun target system. Okay. They're the guys you can take pot shots at in the back. Okay. Let's see. Ashish and Mike, I just abbreviated the Jack Stack. Either of them here? Okay. Spark Gap Random Number? Okay. Right now, the big thing is if this is still the project you're doing and if the team members look correct. That's all I'm looking for right now. Heartbeat Powered Pacemaker? No, we're looking for a heart donor for this one. Okay. Okay, the shock absorber sensor controller. Okay, team still intact. Okay, no additions. Okay. Let's see, the electronic bandage. Oh, okay. Still the same team membership. Okay. Cell phone medical monitoring device. Any of you guys here? We're going to try and meet in Kavasuglu's office. Is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock good for you guys? It turns out we're both free beginning at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Okay, check with the other team members and get back to me. Okay. Marathorn, you here? I have no idea if that was the correct pronunciation. Looking for an optimization project. Dan First, you here? Okay. Okay, the Rhyme test response. Dave's not here. Any of the other members here? This is the audio pack project? No. Okay. Edwin, I'm not sure. Do you have a couple team members with you or not?
It looks like no.
Okay. Do you want any members? We might have a couple people with you. Do you want to say anything about what you're doing?
Well, basically, I'm looking at doing a project with Larry Sears. He has some art-related projects that would involve a combination of hardware, maybe some firmware, software, depending. So if there are people that might be interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't in this 396 class, he is a self-made multi-millionaire. His knowledge of products and selling them is very good. If any of you have seen the little electronic readout on the side of your homes for gas meters, he probably owns all the intellectual property associated with those. And at last call, what they're working on, he's got some neat projects on cellular networks, is wireless. Yeah. You know, he's done rather well. In fact, his position at one time was very similar to Paul Schneider, who was the part of the engineer group. It goes to show that, you know, you can be better as an engineer than a faculty member. But if you're in his 396 class, you know exactly what I mean. He has some great insight about how you actually take design and turn it into a product that people will actually buy.
Okay. So if you're interested, and he's a great guy to work with. Not yet. Larry. Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. And let's see. I just got a concept document for the cryogenic motor and bearing system. So I guess that's actually correct. Let me skip here to the last page. Don't you love this autofocus control algorithm? Ahmad, Noor, is that either of you here? Okay. Are you doing a control project with Leparo? Okay, so that you have a name for it yet, other than control. Okay, so you will have a... Okay, good. So you're pretty much set. Alexander Converse, Joshua, you guys here? Okay, I know you were talking about something. Do you have it? Oh, okay. Okay. You want to send me just a... Okay, great. By the way, don't worry. Formula SAE tire pressure. You guys here? Okay, all set? Okay. Let's see. Chris, Nathan, you guys here? Is this what you're doing? Or you were sort of flipping back and forth between two projects. Oh, okay. So you have a bunch of ideas. Okay. By the way, I'll push the ATA over Ethernet. Since that's my former master's student. He's really, really good. He's great to work with and a terrific resource. Chad, you're going to do the beam steering? Okay. This is actually a really challenging project. What they want to do is basically shoot a laser beam, no big deal, from Glennon to Crawford. But what's really interesting is you want to have a position detector in Crawford that measures the beam position, and then over the internet, with all of the associated random delays, particularly on the campus network, okay, control it at the other end to keep the beam precisely positioned on that. And this would be both a demonstration of synchronization of computers as well as control over the internet. Great project. Very challenging. Publishable papers. So think about it. If you want to do control, you could team up with Chad very well. Let me check. I have potentially three co-op projects. Only three. At least right now to my knowledge. Chris, Brian, Norm, any of you here? Okay. This is correct? Okay. Only three co-ops? Okay. Your final report is due next Wednesday. And I'll give you some more feedback about precisely how we want it formatted. Okay? And then is either Aaron or Matt here? Okay. I don't, since I was out for a week, I may not have gotten your emails or anything. So, resend it. You guys then are set on a project? Okay, good. Anyone that didn't appear on this list? Okay. Well, it sounds like then we may not be in such bad shape. The hardest part is sort of just really getting everyone going. Our one concern right now is going to be poor Ed and Chad, you know, single single-person projects. And we will give you more feedback on that, but since a very important component of the course is operating in teams, And if you're operating by yourself, we're going to have to figure something out. Okay? Anyway, the only other thing I want to do very quickly is ignore my cell phone and just give you a quick update on. We're going to change the, as I said, the deadline for the proposal, and we'll update it. And actually, I think I did already. Think of it. Technical proposal and the co-op technical reports both due next Wednesday. Okay? And the other thing I wanted to mention, just a tiny bit, since I was out for a while, didn't get a chance to say too much about what in the world your project proposal is. You're not looking for an extremely long proposal. In fact, sometimes the best documents are short documents. I think, for example, Heisenberg's PhD dissertation was one page long. You know, if you can do it, that's really good. But I want to talk about the format a little bit.
You don't have all the subtitles, you still don't get a bad grade.
Okay. One of the things is that there is an executive summary. This is usually a one page, but if you run over a little bit, I don't really care. But what this should be is, think of it basically as public relations, a press release for your project. Or think of it as this document that you're going to drop on your boss's desk, or the dean's desk, or you know, someone higher up in the organization. And in one page, no more than two or three paragraphs, it should tell them why this is a terrific project, why you should get a big raise or a bonus, and you know how important this is. Okay, communications in all senses, and there's nothing wrong with self-promotion. Okay, that's why we're going to have a few people talk about marketing. You have to sell both yourself and your project. Now, that will be a one page and separate from everything else. The report itself will consist of a title page, nothing very fancy. We simply want to know the title of the project, who your technical advisor is, if you have one. We want every project to eventually have one. And the people on the team. Now, the rest is broken down into two primary sections, and there's overlap between them, but we're trying to sort of make it so that there's as little duplication right as possible. The first section is technical. We want to know what your project is. Okay, and usually this is not that much more than what you've done in your concept document. What is it you're going to do? Okay. Then we get into what is it that it's supposed to do? How well is it supposed to do it? Okay. You know, is it supposed to, for example, in the case of Chad's laser beam, is it supposed to be able to control stuff within plus or minus 0.1 microradians at a distance of half a mile while burning holes in buildings? Or, you know, the more numbers you can put in, the better. Now, for software projects, it's really difficult to put in numbers. What you typically do instead is put in functional specifications or functional requirements, like it must do this. It might have to have a interface that contains or collects this information. So you can also do it from a functional viewpoint. Not
called a software requirements document.
That's correct. Although I don't know if anyone in here has taken software engineering. Anyone? Nope. Ah, excellent. Okay. The next thing is, once you've told us what you have to do, how are you going to do it? You know, what are the things that you need to do?
Usually you have to do research, you might have to do some mathematical modeling, you might have to do computer simulation, you might have to build some prototypes and test them, all kinds of stuff.
Okay, and finally, one of the most important things, and it's really, really one of the things that separates engineering design from just putting things together in your basement is verification and testing. Okay? One of the big things in engineering is it is great, I know in most of your courses so far, to say, my project worked. If you do that, you're usually extremely happy. Okay? On the other hand, if this is a real product that's going to be sold or used by someone, the kind of things that we're particularly interested in is how well does it work. You need to be able to say that it works to specification. That's the difference between an engineer and a hobbyist. Okay? So you need to back it up with numbers. And this is extremely important, and I won't get into all of the issues of legal liability if the product fails, or contract negotiations. You know, what if the customer thinks that it should have done this? Well, if it wasn't in your specifications, one reason for writing a good set of specifications, or it's outside the range of operation, etc., then right is on your side. So engineers design to specification. Okay, that is the technical component of the proposal. The non-technical, but the management side of the proposal, and that's another very important component of this course, is first of all, let us know who the team is. Okay? You should, by the way, initially identify a team leader. In the case of, at least for the moment, the one-person projects, that's very easy to do. In the case of the multi-person projects, you may want to flip a coin. What has been a very, very effective strategy in the past, because usually the person that's the team leader is responsible for collecting all the materials through the reports and transmitting them to us. Okay? That means that you have additional paperwork and stuff to do. Good teams have rotated that work. You know, like one person does it during September, one during October, one during November, one during December, or any other breakdown that makes sense. But you may want to split up the work, because one of the things that we're going to be looking for is that you all did some element of the technical work. In fact, if for a four-person, we're going to be looking for you to do one quarter of the technical work of each project. Well, we think that's pretty reasonable. It should not be that one person does all the technical work and one person does all the report writing. And what will happen in your later reports is you will be asked to identify which sections of the reports you wrote. Okay? So there will be section-by-section authors. Okay? The project management plan, we're actually going to talk about on Wednesday. This doesn't need to be anything really fancy, but it is absolutely essential that you look at what you need to do for your project. Break it down into a series of tasks, accomplishments, or milestones, and organize this. And make sure that you've allocated enough time for your team to get everything done. This is another aspect of good engineering. Unfortunately, dealing with management in engineering is really, really tough. Engineers always want more time to make it work better. Management always wants to give you less time to work even better. Okay? And it becomes a big fight. But companies really make a big deal out of this, because They may have many pieces all coming together, coordinated, for example, to roll out a new product. It may be something, there may be a timetable to get this together for a space launch. You know, you don't usually hold up a rocket launch. Sometimes the windows for hitting a planet are very small. So there are all kinds of reasons why there may be very, very tight schedules that you've got to follow. And this is part of the game of being a good engineer, estimating how long it's going to take you to get something done. And as you become more and more accomplished as an engineer, you'll be able to just look at something, write down a few notes, and say, yes, this is how long it will take, this is how many man hours, actually man years, as you move along. And it is an art. The last thing is budget. And at this point, you don't need to be very accurate. And in fact, if you're doing an all-software project, it's very easy. The cost is maybe nothing, unless you have to buy a software package. But if you're going to have to buy something really exotic or really fancy, which usually, by the way, means that it will take a while to be delivered, those are the kinds of things. The budget almost goes hand in hand with the management plan. And for those of you who would work with Larry Sears from Hexagram, one of the things that we're not doing in this particular course, but is often done in senior design project courses around the country, is to figure out the cost to mass produce your designs, a full economic analysis. Because one of the bottom lines is, how do you figure out how much you sell a product? And the big emphasis in engineering, or at least a big emphasis aside from making it work on time, is making it work cheap. And for those of you who have worked in industry, I'm sure that you've heard these words over and over again. There are also all kinds of other bad things, but designing to constraints are some of the biggest things that we have to deal with. Time is a big constraint. Money is a big constraint. And that's what the rest of the course will be all about. The evaluation form has not been updated, and the proposal is not in this new format. So don't worry about those two at the moment. But I think this is a good outline. You can start, you know, as appropriate, as quickly as this afternoon, working on your proposal. And at that point, I'm going to turn it over to Bob, who's going to tell us about big engineering teams working under stress. And you probably can't get any bigger or more stressful than NASA.
So as soon as we can get this thing working.
Want me to switch that over to the CD?
Yeah.
Or I mean DVD. Uh-oh, the DVD player isn't working? Oh, here we go.
Okay. Let's see, do I hit enter?
Yeah. Now we need, where is our volume?
That's back in the major menu. That's where you hit the menu, I think. One of these will let you return.
Okay.
And I don't remember which one.
This is coming up.
Okay. So we're going to watch a little bit of parts of Apollo 13. You know, every engineer should probably have watched this several times.
Well, let's see, I'm not getting menu. Why am I looking?
Okay, what's going on?
Okay. Well, no, it's coming on. See, I'm not getting menu.
Oh, then it must be. Oh, what do you want to? Oh, try return.
There's that. You got some volume. You can see it's coming on already. Alright.
And I think...
Will I hit 20 first?
Yes. Well, I think you can now. Forward, pause. I think this menu's...
See, I've got particular sequences.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
this is the beginning of the movie, is what we got here. So we we want to get out of that. Nope. It ain't working right. This is what I've had trouble with before. See, it's into the movie. We're not getting out of it.
Okay. So no chapters.
Yeah.
This is a good example of trying to better a man's
face program. Yeah. See, it's not controlling it at all.
We can't position it where we want. Not killed American astronauts
to trust in and Roger's chat. There were serious doubts that we could beat the
none of the is working. Oh,
I just stopped it. I just stopped it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Let's start all over again. It's not controlling off of there. This is the problem.
Yeah. There used to be, at one time, a remote control. Let me see if there's a remote control.
Oh, wait for me to see.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, we're playing around with that. Any questions on senior project?
Well, Houston, we have a problem.
On the player.
It's not controlling off of here at all. And I don't seem to understand why it is. Should I be playing it off down here?
No, that's a computer.
That's what I thought. So I'm not sure I understand what's going on here. But it's not controlling off of here.
Yeah, and I don't know if any of these work.
I'm going to try it off of here.
Yeah, it just says reading. Well, I don't know if we have a player off of the computer, but let's try it. Oh,
I put it back in here.
Okay.
See, this is my checklist, and it's coming up fine. But right here,
you never get a menu.
I never get a menu. That's right.
Okay. There's no menu.
There's no menu. Yes, right there, it's supposed to come up, pop up a menu, but it's not. Maybe. Yeah, this is not. Maybe this is not working.
You want to just stick it in? There must be a player.
No, let me try it down below. Let me try
okay.
That one here.
We're going to... Bear with us.
This is not working. Let me try that.
Because we only want to show parts of this.
That's exactly right. Well, we're back up to what you got here. Yeah, now select... I probably won't be able to control it off of there either.
Well, no, you should be able to... Well, we'll see. Anyone know what's normally installed?
They have a power DVD on the start.
They do?
If it works fine, my DVD player at home. Insert a disc. Well, we're not in D.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
DVD. Planter says enter. Maybe I should have entered it first.
What?
Maybe I...
Okay. Anyone know what they're doing? Oh. Let's try.
We're getting close. Yeah.
We'll hand out scripts and we'll redo the plot.
Wait for the menu to come up.
Yeah, I've never used the menu.
If this doesn't work, then we'll abort right after this.
Well, he's a rough off for
nope. Alright, we're gonna kill the idea. What I wanted to do, which is obviously not happening, is that what I wanted to do is relate back through six or so sequences in this movie to the characteristics of teamwork that we talked about the last time that I spoke to you. And I'll just reiterate. What good teams do is, first of all, have a clear and complete vision of what the mission's about. And the Apollo 13 movie shows it very, very well. The second thing is, every good team has a strong sense of leadership. And I can't think of anything better than... First of all, have all of you seen the Apollo 13 movie? All right, I've seen a lot of heads shaking. The movie is what happened?
I now know why.
Good.
The DVD control doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
Someone ripped out the cable.
Uh-huh.
There's the little op.
So I didn't have any control. In any event, there's a strong sense of leadership, and that leadership in the case of Apollo 13 came from a number of directions. The one of biggest concern was Gene Kranz, the fellow that headed the whole Houston flight control operation, was a terrific leader and had a very, very strong sense of being able to call the right shot. The other thing I wanted to point out to you is that many times a structure of an effort isn't just a team, it's multiple teams working together. And if you recall that whole room in the Houston Flight Center, each one of those individuals that was in front of a screen was in fact a team leader on their own. And I was trying to portray the notion that what was happening here is that you had a strong sense of leadership both at the highest level and individually. And that all of this came together under a terrific, an absolute life-threatening set of crises. And Apollo 13 did that very well. And I wanted you to experience that. If you remember what I was saying about this whole teaming idea, is that it's not something that you just learn and put into practice. You've got to work it because it's relationships. And it's built around this whole thing called trust.
Where did our DVD go?
It's in the...
Is it?
What's in here? Oh, that won't open. There it is. No, it's not. Here it is, right here.
Okay.
Right here. You got another go at it?
I'll do a go at it.
So the other things to round out the whole thing is that I talked an awful lot about being able to deal with conflict. Conflict happens because of individuals being of different mindsets. Conflict can also happen from the outside in. And in this particular film, the conflict comes as a result of the stress of the time, the stress of the happening. Hey, we got something. You plugged it in.
Well,
all right, very good.
A little optical LED in the
room. All right. So, let's see. All right, let me see if I can pick up the sections here. So sequence one.
The way they do these remote controls is, you know, we've got, just like your cable boxes, we've got a little stick-on optical LED. And that is missing.
Now I can't get it to page down. No, it's stuck.
Again?
Yeah, now she's going to play one. I don't want it to play one. So now I want it to forward. See, I want to be able to get into the chapter.
Oh.
All right. Now, here we go. There we go. And I want to get up to 19.
Okay.
All right, and then down. All right. The first segment here deals in the middle of the movie after the problem of the oxygen tank breaking open. And it sets the whole tone toward everything. So what I wanted you to see here is that at the time that the accident takes place, Gene Kranz, the flight director, takes charge with the following words by saying, "Listen up, stay cool, work the problem." So it's just a matter of calming things down, getting the direction going. All right, in that case...
A good thing to say the night before your senior project.
Yeah.
Between Jack Bagwell and the Fred Hayes show, I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Okay, thank you very much, Houston.
We got a couple of housekeeping procedures for you. We'd like you to roll right to 060 and all your rates.
Roger that, rolling right, 060.
And if you could... give your oxygen tanks a stir.
Roger that.
This is an important fella in one of the upcoming scenes. He's a team leader himself.
How much is that telling you?
O2 tank 2 not reading at all. Tank 1 is at 725 PSI and falling. Fuel cells 1 and 3 are...
What's going on here? Flight,
let me get back to you.
Flight GNC?
Flight, they're all over the place. They keep going close to Gimbalock.
I keep losing radio signal. Flight, they're down.
One at a time, one at a time. Tom, is this an instrumentation problem, or are we looking at real power loss here?
It's really like a Google failure. It can't happen. It's got to be instrumentation.
Let's get that hand button on that line. If I see it,
yeah. That was really
commercial, bro. Guys, we got a pretty large thing here. Switch it with a master alarm.
It's made by the same. It's
a bus A. We have a main bus A undervolt now, too. It's reading 25 and a half. Maybus B is reading 6 right now. We got a wicked shimmy up here.
What kind of GMC? These guys are talking about bangs and shimmies up there. Doesn't sound like instrumentation to me.
He can just have to stay up.
Just going. We can hit by a meteor, we can get by now. He's going to try to get us out of this alert.
You can hear the button. Did you say switch to Omni Bravo?
Roger, and the signal's straight on the high.
Spidey, we need one story here, Jack. We keep putting with the other lot.
Okay,
Houston, I'm switching over quad C to main A.
Okay, fuel cell 1, fuel cell 3. We got a main bus, 300 volts, cryo pressure, super pressure, AC bus 1, AC bus 2, command on the computer,
and on to flow high. I don't know.
Maybe this is a caution and warning.
Houston, we are vending something out into space.
Outside window 1 right now. Definitely a
Roger, obviously we copy your venting.
Give me a line.
Okay, that's everybody.
So four legs can open up. Let's start right back on the
Quiet down. Let's stay cool, people. Procedures, I need another computer up in the RTCC. I want everybody to alert your support teams. Wake up anybody you need, get them in here. Let's work the problem, people. Let's not make things worse by guessing.
We're going around the room now. We're ready to get you some answers. Attention, Steve Petty, Roger. We're going to get you in the
internet,
ma'am. Take a look at the O2 on number one.
O2 tank 2 steel 0, tank 1, 218 PSI calling.
Can
we review our status here, sir? Let's look at this thing from a standpoint of status. What have we got on the spacecraft? That's good.
I'll get back to you, Gene. We're not going to have time much longer. The ship's putting it down. Flight?
Yeah, go
ahead. Flight, I recommend we shut down the reacting valves of the fuel cells.
What the hell good is that going to do?
If that's where the leak is, we can isolate it. You can isolate it there and we can save what's left in the tank and we can run on a good cell.
You close them, you can't open them again. You can't land on the moon with one healthy fuel cell.
Gene, the Odyssey is dying. From my chair here, this is the last option.
Team, this is Houston. We want you to close react valves on cells 1 and 3. Do you copy?
Are you saying you want the whole smash? Closing down the react valves for fuel cells shutdown? Shutting down the fuel cells. Did I hear you right?
Yeah, they heard me right. Tell them we think that's the only way to stop you.
Yeah, Jim,
did you copy that?
Do you copy, Jim?
Yes, Houston, we copy. We just lost the moon.
Let's see what this does. doesn't work. We're not going to have enough power left to get home.
Houston, O2 on 1 is still falling.
How long does it take to power up the limb?
3 hours by the checklist.
We don't have that much time. Okay, now, Jack, before the battery is completely gone here, let's power down everything. We can save as much as we can to re-enter.
15 minutes of oxygen. That's it. The command module will be dead.
Okay.
Okay, guys, listen up. Here's the drill. We're moving the astronauts over to the left. We gotta get some oxygen up there.
Alright.
Without me control, I want an emergency power procedure. The essential hardware only. DNC, ECOM. We'll be shutting down the command module at the same time. I'll have to transfer the guidance system from one computer to the other, so I want those numbers up and ready when our guys are in position.
Okay, we gotta transfer all control data over to the left computer before the command module dies.
Lunar modules, lunar light bulbs.
Okay, I'm gonna stop there to jump ahead. It's obvious you can't get much more or a much higher sense of crises than what you've just seen. But notice the interaction that's gone on. People moved forward, grabbed a hold of the situation, lowered the chaos, and zeroed in on what the right thing to do is. The next stage, now we're going to focus again on Gene Kranz. He's going to redefine where things are going. In other words, the mission to the moon is lost. What do we do next? It's his definition, it's his call, and he makes it. So he's taking charge of his overall team, and those individual people who are in the room, each one of those are a team leader, they're responding to him.
I'll also mention one little thing. I don't know how many of you caught it there when you said quadruple failure.
That's not possible. Yeah.
Engineers are not legally required to design for more than one failure. The power blackout of 2 years ago was a multiple failure. But if you, in your design,
failed
one critical component, you're going to be in big trouble. Four, you can probably get off the legal list.
Okay, people, listen up for just a minute. I want you all to forget the flight plan. From this moment on, we are improvising a new mission.
It's a new spec.
Sorry. How do we get our people home?
There's nothing wrong with the shop.
They are here. Turn around, street back, director board. We get them on a free return trajectory. Dobson with a few question marks for safety.
I agree with Jerry. Use the moon's gravity slingshot them around.
No, the land will not support three guys for that amount of time. I mean, we've got to do a direct abort. We do an about face. We bring the guys right home right now.
Get them back soon. Absolutely.
We don't even know if the Odyssey's engines even work. And there's been serious damage to this spacecraft.
They blow up and they die. That is not my fault. What are you talking about?
Hold it down, people. The only engine we've got with enough power for direct support is the SPS on the service module. Well, Lawless told us there's been damage during an explosion, so let's consider that engine dead. We'd like that thing off to blow the whole works. It's too risky. I'm not going to take that chance.
Now, the only thing the command module is good for is re-entry, so that leaves us with the lamp, which means free return trajectory. Once we get the guys around the moon, we'll fire up the limb engine, make a long burn, pick up some speed, and get them home as quick as we can.
Gene, I'm wondering what the ground gas looks
like. We can't make any guarantees. We designed the limb to land on the moon, not fire the engine out there for force work.
Well, unfortunately, we're not landing on the moon, huh? I don't care what anything was designed to do. I care about what it can do.
So let's get to work. Let's lay it out. Okay?
Okay, let me jump ahead again now. All right, in this section now, France again takes charge by determining that what he has just heard in the sequence you're going to see is an unacceptable approach. He's not about to lose anybody. The thing now that begins to develop is the situation involving power. The team lead in this regard, this fellow's name is John Aaron, and he defines what the battery capability really is and zeroes in on what the life-saving situation is going to be all about and what they need to do to solve that.
So you're telling me you can only give our guys 45 hours? That brings them to about there.
Power is everything. Without it, they don't talk to us, they don't correct our trajectory, they don't turn the heat shield around. We gotta turn everything off. Now. They're not gonna make it to re-entry.
What do you mean?
Put everything on, the alarm draws 60 amps. At that rate, 16 hours, the batteries are dead, not 45. So is the crew. We gotta get them down to 12 amps.
You can't run a vacuum cleaner on 12 amps, John.
You have to turn off the radars, cabin heaters, instrument displays, guidance computer, the whole smack.
Well, guidance computer, well, what if they need to do another burn? Gee, they won't even know which way they're pointing.
The more time we talk to them, the more use they waste up there. We're looking at the data for the past hour.
That's the deal?
That's the deal.
Okay, John.
Now that's trust. He's accepting what his fellow's telling him, and he's going with it.
Now, in the meantime, we're going to have a frozen command lock for a little time. In a couple of days, we're going to have to power it up, use nothing but the re-entry battery.
We've tried before.
No, we've never even stimulated it before, Gene. Well, we're going to have to figure it out. I want people on our simulators working re-entry scenarios. I want you guys to find every engineer who designed every switch, every circuit, every transistor, and every light bulb that's up there. Then I want you to talk to the guy in the assembly line who actually built the thing. Find out how to squeeze every amp out of both of these goddamn machines. I want this mark all the way back to Earth with time spare. We never lost an American in space. We're sure as hell not going to lose one on my watch. Failure is not an option. Kim?
Good, you're
not dead. 45 minutes.
Jesus, what are you doing?
I think it's in the simulator.
We've
got to shift the landing.
What?
It's been an explosion. Oxygen tanks are gone, two fuel cells gone, command module shut down. What about the crew? The crew's fine so far, trying to keep the landing limb. We're going to have to shut that down pretty soon, too.
We've got a lot of people working the numbers on this one, Ken. Nobody's too sure how much power we're going to have when we hit re-entry. The
command launch will be frozen up pretty good right now.
We see the centimeter rise over 20 at any point. The power up is no good. We see it spikes. That's fine off the guidance computer. Our guys get it. Okay?
How much power do we have to play with?
Early enough to throw this coffee pot right now.
Go.
Yeah, Ken Maddox, you got it.
Coffee.
We've been losing heat since the accident. You can start getting a lot of water condensation in the control panels.
So, you know what's going on?
John's brought me up to speed. What do we have left in the batteries?
We don't really know.
We got to get started on some short tests for power up.
Yeah, you know how it's going?
Well, it's all in the sequencing, John. If we can skip whatever we don't absolutely need and turn things out in the right order, maybe we're starting on the procedure.
Well, the engineers will try, but I mean, it's sort of shut the way they want to.
Okay. Frank. I need the sim cold and dark in the exact same conditions we've got in there now, and I need the present status of every instrument.
You got it.
I need a flashlight. That's not what they have up there. Don't give me anything they don't have on board.
Get the show on the road. Put them in space, fellas.
Okay, Houston, the quad meter circuit breakers are open.
One of these are forward on me with the burst in the window, and the switches to aft on me, and then we see the motor.
We copy that.
more waste dumps. We're just going to have to store it. Yeah, we're going to need some more urine bags.
Okay, Houston, that leaves us with just the computer, which I'm shutting down now.
And that's it. Just close to Isaac Newton in the driver's seat.
Sit
down. Yeah.
Very, very,
yeah.
Just running
the temperature. None of them has slept.
I can't
order
these guys to go to sleep.
Did you sleep up there and get awful cold in there for those guys?
The other thing that's interesting to keep in mind is that it's developed over 7 days. Not a few minutes like we're sitting right now. So there's a lot of time involved for a lot of people. Took a lot of time to explain these interesting facts.
Hair judgment, blackouts, the beginnings of brain asphyxia.
What about the scrubbers on the command module?
It takes quite a couple of
things. The ones on the limb are round.
The owner is in the government operation.
It's just isn't a contingency we can come up with up there.
Those CO2 levels are going to be getting toxic.
Well, I suggest you gentlemen invent a way to put a square peg in a round hole. Rapidly.
Here is a terrific specification coming up. He's upstairs. Handed us this one, and we gotta come through. We gotta find a way to make this fit into the hole for this using nothing but that.
How about that for a spec?
All right, we're gonna jump again here.
That is a functional spec.
Okay, now we're going to have a study in what amounts to be individual conflict between the people that are in the capsule themselves. I talked to you last time about the difficulty of paying attention to arguing, and it gets you nowhere. And there's a good study in what's going to happen here.
I'm a little worried about this cold affecting my battery efficiency. You know, we could lock all the same wires. Oh, it's nice to help us.
So it could cause the same problem.
It's a possibility.
I'll be going over the numbers again. Are they called up with a reentry plan yet? Because we're coming in too shallow.
We're working on stuff in chat. Just hold on.
I can't remember the ship temperature. We got no references before.
Well, let's see if Houston can pull up the mil specs on
it. Listen. They gave us too much delta V. They had us burned too long.
This rate, we're going to skip right out of the atmosphere, and we're never going to get back.
What are you talking about? What'd you figure that?
I can add.
Got half the PhD on the planet.
You said it right on the money.
But what if they had made a mistake, all right? There was no way to reverse it. You think they would tell us?
There's no reason for them to tell us.
I mean, they're not going to tell us. That's bullshit.
All right, there's a thousand things that have to happen in order. We are on number 8. You're talking about number 692.
And in the meantime, I'm trying to tell you we're coming in too fast. I think they know it, and I think that's why we don't have a goddamn way of that plan.
Yeah, all right. I know. Thank you, Jack.
Ah! Oh, God! Hey, Jack! This shit's gonna get you all. That's because that's the only thing we got left, Jack.
What do you say, bro?
Well, I think you know what I'm saying.
All I think is stay in those tanks.
Close that gauge even before you hit the switch.
You don't tell me how to fly the damn CM, all right?
I'm going to do my job. Ask me to stir the damn tanks, and I stir the tanks.
Stop kicking yourself in the ass.
This is not my fault!
I want to say who it is. If I'm in the left-hand seat when the call comes up, I stir the tanks.
Yeah, we'll tell him that.
I just asked you what the gauge is doing, Carl.
And hey, you know no.
We're not doing this, Jim. We are not going to do this. We're not going to go bouncing off the walls for 10 minutes. And we're just going to end up right back here with the same problems.
That's the do-loop.
We're going to figure out how to stay alive.
Where is
it?
Are we on Vox? No, we're not on Vox. Yeah,
yeah, Houston, we were just looking at that. Our CO2 measurement has jumped 4 notches in the last hour.
Well, that's very comforting to know, Houston. What do you do about it?
Yeah, we're working on
the
data down here
for you. All right, Houston, we're standing by the agency. So I know all my numbers are wrong. I'm assuming for 2 people. Maybe I should just
tell them. Deadly CO2 gas is literally poisoning the astronauts with every breath. You know that?
What's this?
That's what they got to make.
Well, I hope you got the procedures for me right here.
That's it.
Farmer and Andy, Jack's got one right here.
Okay, we have an unusual procedure for you here.
Once you rip the cover off the flight plan.
Pleasure. Lithium hydroxide canister. We have 2 lithium hydroxide canisters, I'm sorry. Roll a great tape.
What about the level of carbon dioxide?
It's funny.
Now, wait a second. Listen, that's not what he said. He said, we're working.
You want to cut the duct tape 3 feet long?
Just use your arm.
Oh, okay, Houston, I see what you're doing. Hold on. Okay, Jack. Get that piece of tape down the middle of the glass.
All right.
Hold on.
While the astronauts appear to have enough oxygen to keep them alive, one thing they have too much of is carbon dioxide. With each breath, the 3 men exhale more of the poisonous gas into the lunar module cockpit, and the scrubbers intended to keep the atmosphere breathable are quickly becoming saturated.
Houston, what do we do if we rip the bag? Can we take it?
It's toward there.
But they've still got a long way to come, and they are now working on their backup facilities, their emergency facilities, but the problem is if anything more goes wrong, they're in real trouble.
Serious situation we've ever encountered. Space flight.
Houston, filters in place.
Roger.
Since we're really close, it's the cash there. It's all like this.
Oh, we're still hoping to close the
what I said about praise in building team? You're about to see it.
Houston, the CO2 level has dropped to 9, and it is still falling.
That is good to hear, Aquarius.
You, sir, are a steel missile man.
Right there.
The overload is...
Alright, this one has to leak.
No, not that yet, John. It's, the sequence was wrong. We just have to go back and try them one at a time.
Need a break, Ken?
Then I'll get one out
of it. Alright, let me jump ahead there. Okay, in this segment, we're going to see a little bit more of the praise given by Gene Kranz. We're also going to see the ongoing struggle in trying to define what to do about this power problem. It's not coming easy. This is over a period of days. Lots of people haven't gotten a great deal of sleep. And between Madley and Aaron, there's a great deal of concern that they're ever going to get there. So the tension is huge.
Gentlemen, we've given our guys enough to survive till re-entry. Well done. Now we gotta get them in. Tell me about the power procedures.
Here's the order of what I want to do. I want to power up guidance, ECS, communications, warm up the fargos for the parachutes and the command module thrusters.
The thrusters are going to push over budget on Aaron's camp.
Well, I've been sending it 200 below for 4 days, John. It's got to be heated.
Fine, it's right off the parachutes. Something.
Well, if the chutes don't open, that's the point.
Hey, you're telling me what you need. I'm telling you what we have to work with at this point. I'm not making this stuff up.
You're going to need all these systems, John.
We do not have the power, Ken. We just don't have it.
Okay, I'm going to go back and reorganize the sequences again and find more power.
Let's start from scratch. Clear the board.
I don't know where to find it.
Okay, last sequence because we're running out of time here. This is the play. This whole thing plays out.
Well, he solves the solution of the.
I know this sequence works.
Oh, the sequence looks good. We're just over budget on the amber. 3 or 4 inches.
God damn it, John!
Is it 3 or 4?
4.
4.
See if we can draw these 4 amps from the LEM batteries before we cut it loose. Why can't we do that?
We don't have to proceed with that.
You're going to lose a lot in the transfer, Ken.
Yeah, but all we're talking about here is 4 amps.
Come on, whatever you guys got in your balance.
See,
no, I don't want the whole thing in blast. It's going to be a couple chances. We've got to get some of those guys.
They're working on it now.
I'll go over the simulator and get an estimate.
God damn it! I don't want another estimate! I want the procedure! Now!
Sometimes your supervisor will speak that way, by the way.
I think it was a... Fine so far. You're on the limit. Keep going.
flood lights are fixed.
Okay, we're running out of time today, so we'll stop there. For those of you who haven't seen the film, if you haven't, or for that matter, even if you have, see it again. It's an excellent, absolutely excellent play as far as special effects, teamwork, leadership, operation under conflict. It's all there. Pay attention to it. See you on Wednesday. We're going to talk about project management.
So you can write part two of your proposal.
That's right.
Well, I guess my question is, when you
might be better to wait until tomorrow, or check with you tonight.
I mean,
because I've got a 3-5 meeting.
Right.
We're gonna go through a bunch of these really fast. But right now, we have to bring one person.
Right.
Oh, there's Chad right there.
Chad, what is your email?